All right, and we are back for, of course, my name is not Elizabeth, but we are back. I'm in studio accompanied by Franz. Good evening, Franz. How are you doing?
Yes, good evening, Andrew.
Yeah. Of course, just moving on from the...
Mic 3.
Oh, yeah. Yes. All right, there we go. Thank you.
Yes, good evening, Andrew.
Good evening, Franz.
Yes.
Just moving on from the Universal program, special broadcast that we had, and continuing on from our sort of coverage of the elections, you were following the stream, live stream that we had, and as the ECN was talking there, Justicia was also there asking some questions as they were announcing that they have the president. Of course, we know we are still awaiting for him to make the official announcement, but as it stands, he's saying that, look, I will not confirm something with you that I have not consulted the president on, and that he has not given his green light on. And so she has come out to say that in terms of the way forward, after they say, let me just quote her, after having received a number of complaints from different political parties. So it seems that the what we're seeing unfold yesterday, no, not yesterday, but today, at the headquarters, in terms of a kind of a clashing between political parties. We saw them even take over the
boardroom.
The boardroom of the ECN. In fact, they chased them out of their own boardroom and said they don't want any ECN officials or staff member in that boardroom. That's how bold they were, and they told the police also they must go out. And following those complaints in that meeting, there was supposed to be a caucus amongst the parties. And we saw them clashing with one of the SG of the ruling party, SWAPO, which is also contesting in the elections, with them kind of wondering why was the SG there on her own or without the other parties meeting with the ECN. So they raised some of those questions. So she's also acknowledging that after receiving those complaints from the different political parties, and after having considered those complaints, the commission announced that it, in line with its obligations to provide every registered voter with a full opportunity to exercise his or her right to vote, and after having taken into consideration the complaints that were lodged, they have decided, or the commission has decided, to recommend to the President of the Republic of Namibia, His Excellency Dr. Nangolo Mbumba, to take the required steps to enable the continuation of the election in identified polling stations on Friday, the 29th of November, 2024, and Saturday, the 30th of November, 2024, at these fixed polling stations, will be open from 7 o'clock in the morning until 2100 hours in the evening. While for the mobile polling stations, they will be open on the indicated times. And that is what the ECN chairperson is deciding there. Maybe just to start it off, Franz, what do you make of that?
You know, I think there is a dichotomy, I don't know even how to call it, because starting with your last point, it seems there are specific polling stations in specific areas. From what I make of the last announcements, they've spoken about commerce, Oshakati East, Oshakati West, if I'm not mistaken, some places in Ondangwa and Epupa. It seems that this permission, or rather extension, seems to be specific for certain areas. I'm not sure whether I'm correct, I don't know whether I'm correct with my understanding. And if that is correct, then we have a problem, because it's not only those areas where people did not have chance to cast their vote.
Yeah.
So maybe they will have to clarify by tomorrow or so which are the extended areas so that people know what to do and when to go to the polling stations. But I think then ECN has raised a lot of a number of questions, you know, in people's minds. One of them, which is very much fundamental and very important, is it seems ECN didn't really have IT people ready to confront these glitches. Because it seems ECN relied on the people that were volunteering to come and help as polling officers, and among all those people, some were trained to operate the machines, which is problematic then, because some people, if you get trained for just 2 weeks, 3 weeks to operate the machine, you are likely to face a problem that you will not be able to solve because you are not used to the machine. You are just trained to operate it. You are shown the basics. So unlike if I'm in the studio here, I've been here for 5 years, and I face a challenge, I know what to do because I've been here for 5 years. But somebody has been here for 3 weeks, you panic. So having said that, we have heard that the people were facing problems because some machines were heating up and then they were freezing and so forth, those kind of things at some other polling stations. So if this is the case, then there is a problem. So that's problem number one. Problem number two, it seems that ECN, because some people are viewing it as a very disorganized process, but maybe just to put it in this way, maybe ECN had a strategy, but then a strategy came to meet practical dynamics on the ground, and then it was prone to change. Because if ECN has been rehearsing this for 5 years, preparing election process for 5 years, some people would argue that what happened today or today or yesterday would not have happened for a preparation that took 4 or 5 years. So yeah. A lot of questions has been raised from ECN, of course, into many people, and the issues of cards being printed, the machine double printing, and of course they've clarified it that they've informed the owners of those cards telephonically. And then there was a question that I thought it was going to challenge them, but they managed to answer it according to the facts available, that it was not only in Commerce Region where those occurred. Apparently they sent those cards to various constituencies, offices.
Yeah.
But all in all, depending on how one can interpret the situation, some say these are hiccups, and they are normal during, elections, and every country faces this, and some countries even face more worse situations than ours. But whatever it is, it has really left a question mark as far as ECN is concerned and the way elections were conducted. Now come to the drama between...
Before we get to the drama.
Yeah.
Or because the drama, you're talking about the drama, of course, that happened at ECN.
Of course.
Or we are going to get to that a little bit later, because that is the one that unfolded. I want to unpack what because you raised a very important question to say some of what kind of thinking, ne? What was the rationale behind certain... When we're talking about this extension that we've been provided, which I'm sure a lot of people are happy about, we are not happy in the sense that why do we have to have an extension? Because those delays, a lot of us feel could have been avoided. But fine, we are here now. There's been an extension. At least it's for some, it's better to get a second chance and even a third chance on Saturday to vote rather than not vote at all. But very, very interestingly, the polling, because Justicia asked a pertinent question to Elsinyi Kembwa, the chairperson of the ECN, to say, because some of these polling stations have already been putting up their results, across throughout the day, which we have been collecting and putting up and calculating to try and get somewhere in terms of our own calculations. We have a website as well that is putting together these election election results on elections.eaglefm.com.na. But what I'm saying is some of the polling stations have already been putting up their final results and putting up on the wall and sending them out to the returning officers. We asked what happens now in that case. So the answer that was given to us is that those ones that are done, they're already, it's finished, it's over. So these are the new polling stations, or I guess one can say, that have been opened up. But when I look at this list, Comas region, where we saw many of the delays, not the only delays, but many of the delays, is only going to have one polling station, which will be at the Trans-Namib Hall in Windhoek West constituency. So if you are listening and maybe you are off for tomorrow, or you are unemployed and you don't have any plans, because unfortunately it will not be a public holiday, neither will Saturday. So if you have to go to work, maybe put in leave or find some other way. But yeah, from only Comas is only a Trans-Namib Hall, Windhoek West constituency. In Oshana, we have in Oshakati, Okanjegedi Community Hall. We have Onawa Kindergarten, Ehenye Public Place, Evuruko Secondary Primary School. In Ondangwa Urban constituency, we have Danger Shipala Soccer Field. At Okatiai constituency, we have Onekandu Combined School, Okasheshete Combined School, Oshitenga Primary School, Okutunduya Community Hall, Okahekeke Kindergarten in Negora, Enkavu. So there are so many options for you if you are in the Oshana area.
Yeah.
If you happen to have missed out.
At least.
Same thing with Kunene region. In fact, Kunene region has so many. In Opuo Rural Constituency, Kaoko Otavi School, Masoso Combined School, Masaso Combined School, excuse me, Odhohaviria, Omavihi, Omuhiva Mobile School, Onjete, Okavare, Otuvero, Omao, Okodo Ngwehe, Ochiu East, and Erora. So there are so many places for you, all up to Epupa Falls, Osia. So there are so many options. What was the rationale behind? One would assume Windhoek is the capital city. We have so many people here, the majority of the population. Why do they get only one voting polling station?
Yeah, one polling station.
Again, considering that we also face the exact same what you can call it, delays that we had previous, that other places had faced as well, because you are likely going to at 7 in the morning likely going to end up facing some of the same issues in terms of those long queues, and then someone will again think, you know what, it's a Friday, me, I want to go and relax.
Unless they bring in everything they have to be able to save everyone.
Yeah.
because you see, what will amaze you with ECN is that they claim to have done all careful considerations.
Mm.
So I think it's about giving it a practical benefit of the doubt to see whether that careful consideration was really carefully done.
Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise, unless they put their full might there, that everyone that was serving in commerce should go to WindQuest.
Yeah.
To save everyone.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many machines they would deploy. Maybe if they think they can deploy all machines that were in commerce, then maybe we can say there is some rationale. But if it is a limited number of people that is going to serve thousands of people that are going to be in that queue, I don't see any practical rationality in that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing here a lot of people are raising the question, where is Erongo? Where is Erongo region? Because the four regions that have been considered for extension, Kunene region, Oshana region, Oshikoto region, and Commerce region. Those are the four regions where the voting different polling stations are going to be. People are asking, where is Erongo? So it seems that there are people also in Erongo that ended up not voting, perhaps because of the similar type of delays that we experienced.
Mm.
And they are asking now, why us? Should someone, if they are in Erongo, should they now take a seven-seater from Erongo to come to Windhoek to come vote, or what is the way forward now?
But if you flip the other coin also, you see when there is a reason why something was not done well, there is always a tendency of people hiding behind that reason for not doing something. Let me say, for example, you know, there is no water.
Mm.
So one can come to work late and say, no, there is no water.
Mm.
Yeah, but there is no water is not really the main reason, but the person just overslept.
Mm.
But just because there is just that overlapping issue that is already there, somebody can just point to it to say, this is the reason why. But sometimes...
So there really is no water, but it's just not the reason
it's
why...
It's not just the reason. So we know that there are hiccups or... whether it can be called irregularities or hiccups or incompetence or whatever words you can use.
Mm.
But there is also procrastination, that some of us were just procrastinating.
Mm.
We went there late, so we didn't get a chance to vote, not because the ballot papers were finished or because the machines were slow, but just because naturally we were just procrastinating.
Mm.
We went to make our decision late.
Yeah.
And that's we were not afforded an opportunity to vote. So now just because there is this one, we can always, all of us, you know, point to this one as a reason why we did not get a chance to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 083-288-4001 is the number to reach us in studio. If you want to give a comment on what has transpired today, it's been quite a... I mean, look, we've been following some of us elections from us in terms of the media aspect for quite a long time, as far back as, you know, 2014, back when the first, or rather the former, the late President Hage Geingob ran for the first time was elected president. So some of these things are not necessarily, you know, I don't know what can say, is it shocking or whatever, but even in 2019, for example, we had the issue of the EVMs and then that whole matter going to court, and some words that were exchanged between the independent candidate at the time and the SG of the party, Sophia Shaningwa. And here we are again with Madam Sophia Shaningwa exchanging some words again today. What do you make of that? Does it kind of remove the decorum of the electoral process? And you know, because we look at some of some people look at some of these leaders, as you know, these are our our, I don't know whether you say our mothers or our leaders, and here you are seeing them, you know, flinging these insults at each other and these words, and they almost look like they want to fight. And yeah.
Yeah, in the world of politics, when it comes to polemic, that's how it is. You know how, if you were following Trump and the Kamala, at some point, or maybe with Trump and Biden, Trump calling Biden demented, somebody with dementia.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody who is mentally unstable, who forgets where he is. You know, those are... In politics, you pick on the weakness of your opponent and you capitalize on it. It just depends on how mature your polemic is, and whether or not you are able to control yourself in terms of emotions, which I have seen, you know, both Sophia and Ims Nashinge have failed the test very, very well here. Because, in fact, it was polemic.
But to play, I know that people don't like that term, but to play the devil's advocate, yes. Can one say, like, look, this is it's not just our bread that is on the table, or that is you are kind of playing with, but it's our democratic voice when we talk about, you know, if I was I'm just putting myself in their shoes, and I find the someone from another party, we were all supposed to sort of have a caucus and decide, from what we all experienced in the elections, we are not happy with it. So what is the way forward for all of us? And one of us in that group is missing or is not there, and we find that person meeting with the institution that actually we feel is to blame for this entire process, and we find them in a meeting. Will you not be emotional, and, you know, or am I maybe giving him too much grace?
No, it's, in fact, it's not too much grace. In that case, you will be emotional. You see, emotions should not be avoided. There's a difference between avoiding emotion and controlling emotion. So those are two things.
Yeah.
So emotional, we will become emotional. Yeah. I mean, anybody in his shoes could do that.
Yeah.
But you see, in a democratic, you know, political polemic kind of, you know, way of things, you capitalize on the mistake of the other person. Because we will be wrong if we use morality to judge the situation that happened today, using moral and ethics. We can't be moral and ethics in a political polemic situation. Because these are people that are competing.
Yeah.
And it's not only about the ballot paper or the ballot environment where they are competing. They are competing in every aspect. And they can take advantage of each other's weaknesses and capitalize it if somebody is wise. You know, so... I see at some point Nashinge and Sophia, you know, at that direct point where you take advantage of the other person's side of weakness and bring a strong point, whether it is an insult or a word that is off. Yeah, in that world, in that environment, it's correct to do that because that's political polemic. But if we are to judge it in a moral point of view, then we are out of politics. Yeah, because in a moral point of view, then we will know who is we now come up with who is wrong, and kind of like you know, morality deficiency, and we come up with those words. But from a political polemic point of view, they were just on point, in my view, because this is competitive way of maneuver around the other person's emotions.
Yeah,
because you are trying to disintegrate them, and you know, and just take them off God.
Yeah,
Yeah, but from a morality point of view, we have rights to make our own judgments. But from a political polemic environment, there is nothing, you know, off about the drama. In fact, it was Namibia's best dramatic environment that could occur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we compare it in other countries, and you talked about Trump and Biden, and we saw them having a very kind of emotional debate just before Biden pulled out of that race. And then just some months later, when Trump won, and they were talking about having a smooth transition, Joe Biden invited Trump over to the White House, and he was saying, look, we will make sure everything that you need is there, basically. And you can see it was quite civil. And so, you know, we're hoping that's just the issue of emotions on the day and not,
The only problem more. Is that we don't, the only danger is maybe if we don't look at it as a political polemic, we look at it as a personal, you know, issue based on moral basis of hatred and so forth, then that becomes a dangerous, that becomes a dangerous move. But if it is polemic, now let me just give you an example of how, you know, we are now talking about maybe 10 months after the departure of the late president, Hage Geingob. If you look at how, you know, Geingob was treated by even, you know, official opposition or opposition parties and so forth when he was in parliament, and versus what they were saying when he departed, those are two different, you know, two different worlds altogether. You would even want to differ with them that, how can you say that now when you are saying this? But we could understand that from a political polemic point of view, we were judging it with morality, using it to say they hate him.
Yeah,
from a moral point of view, you bring in love and hate. But in a political polemic environment, it's competition.
Yeah. I want to move the conversation towards, of course, the big news that we got today. Let's maybe take a short commercial break, and we'll be back right after this.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Oulio mnangeshefa ni wahara kushivifa oma kuroe kupitira muhurike radio station aweyo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi kono raheta timwe.
Heari mwe,
ne heari, imwe imwe na hamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa kono raheta tu natu, mbali o heta tu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mwane oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
All right, and we are back. It's 27 minutes to 11 o'clock, and you are listening to Eagle FM, special Eagle elections broadcast. We are going to be handing over to Rudolph in about 27 minutes. But looking at tomorrow, Franz, the day itself, it's a Friday. Obviously, if you had missed out on the chance to vote, your Friday is maybe your day to rest. It's the day that, you know, work, it's been a long work week. You might have spent, there are some people who have spent, you know, 7 hours in those queues and then gave up. They went home and they said, this is too much. They went home. Now you, all of that burden will now still be on you again. And now you are thinking to yourself, you know what, let me take one last chance. How do you expect the day to go, considering the fact that it's not a public holiday? You have to negotiate with your employer or your boss or you whoever, wherever you work. If you're a businessman, you have to figure out, how do I like close my shop now for those few hours that I go and vote, or like close down my if you're selling mealies or you're selling something, will I close, put them away for how long? How will that affect my business? How do you expect the day to go?
It's going to be a bit complicated on the other side. But I think it depends on the interest of the people, whether they view this as another chance for them to be able to cast their vote. So it is between those lines. The complexity of it is in the sense that it's not a public holiday. So it's a normal working day, as usual. And at the same time, clashing with a Black Friday.
My goodness. I even forgot it's a Black Friday, which is it was going to be another day for
one to be moving around
in a queue and, you know, trying to buy your TV or your whatever.
That is now how complicated the day is going to be. But whether or not it is complicated, I think should be judged by whether or by one's interest. If the people are, depending on if they, how people view it, do they view it as a second chance, or do they view it as a disturbance when they have already decided to move on with or without voting? So those lines are very complicated to, you know, digest on behalf of everyone. I think it will depend on the individual person. But the tricky part is that if you are a vendor, then you have to leave your mealies somewhere and go and queue up. By the time you come back, they would have been spoiled. Or maybe you don't prepare anything at all because you want to go and vote and then you sell on Saturday. So I think it depends on how the other person judges the situation. The only unfair part that I would say is unfair is one polling station in the entire commerce. One polling station in the entire Windhoek. That one I would say it's unfair because other people from Okahanja Park and other areas that do not have an opportunity to vote will be forced to come to Windhoek West. Some people don't really have money to catch a cab and come, and some people that have cars will be privileged to drive to Windhoek West. But many people who don't have means will be disadvantaged still. So at that time, I don't think ECN has made anything. I think they have created more problem.
Because I'm thinking on a day where it was a public holiday, people woke up at 5 o'clock. There are some who woke up at 4 o'clock. Some slept there, and most of them by 6 o'clock they were in the queue. If you're in the queue by 6 o'clock, by 5 p.m. the next day, by 5 p.m. that same day, from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. you are still in the same queue. Now that's on a public holiday, on a day where there's you are required to either be at work because you either have to put in leave, and if some for some companies it's short notice, so you must at least have put in leave it by 1 week or something. How are people going to navigate that? Is it only merely to say, you know what, let me just push it rather to Saturday, or what happens?
That's going to be difficult because, you know, people have already their days planned out. That I was just going to board on the 27th, then 28th I leave off, or I'm going to go somewhere, or 28th or 29th. So
should they have then considered, as they're asking the president to proclaim this extension, and then at the same time also proclaim a public holiday?
Yeah, I think they could have done so fairly, because you see, this is on them, it's not on the people. This is on them because their logistics did not meet the practical dynamics on the ground.
Yeah.
So they had to retreat and regroup and then, come back. Now, they are supposed to include everyone because this is them correcting their mistakes. But it should not be, people should not be used as collateral to ECN, dynamic challenges that they faced. So now they were supposed to declare 29 and 30 as public holidays, just like they did for the 27th. Yeah, I think that was supposed to be part of the proclamation.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this is making people, as collateral of your own mistakes.
Yeah, we have a caller on the line. Let's just see what they have to say. Good evening.
Oh, good evening, Andrew and the friends. How are you?
We are good. How are you?
Not so bad, thanks.
I
hear you. But the especially when you just mentioned that the issue of possibly declaring tomorrow as a public holiday as well. You see, there are implications already by nature of doing that, because you would find that tomorrow is end of the month.
Yeah.
Yeah. People by default will get paid tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if you declare it a public holiday, would you exempt the municipal office and the other offices that are essentially needed for transactional maintenance issues, for example? So they might have tried something. But as much as I am disappointed by such institutional incompetence, I believe they could have also just, kept options open for more polling stations for people who did not get a chance, especially in Commerce region. Instead of confining people to certain areas. Like window quest, because we are talking about the dynamics of affordability and also the possibility of how flexible people are and how patient they can be to converge at one venue.
Yeah.
And probably spend more than half the entire day there.
Yeah.
So there's one big inconvenience which I don't know.
Yeah, no, I hear you, because I'm thinking to myself, if I was a business person and I had a shop somewhere, or I had a printing shop, and I was expecting some business tomorrow, and then you declare it a public holiday, of course I would feel that we already had one on Wednesday and now another one.
It would be complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a lot of interference on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just my short of it for now.
Yeah.
We can continue discussing where we are just by the radio.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming through.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Yeah, those are the implications, Francis, to consider.
I agree with the caller, because look, sometimes there's this issue of, meter boxes sometimes getting disconnected. you go and buy electricity and you are told, you know, your number, this one is blocked.
Mm.
And imagine on a public holiday and you only have seven units.
Mm.
So it's a problem.
We have another caller on the line. Good evening.
Oh, good evening.
Yes. How are you?
Is this France there? Who is this? Is this Andrew?
It's Andrew and France in studio.
Yeah, I've been listening to you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. France, kuchwa ni wena?
Yeah, ande anko bwana.
Ande. Yes, thank you very much for coming. We always expect you to some of this critical analysis. Yeah, I know. sorry. This is time now for demand. It's not supply and demand. It's demand side. So, and this is what we are getting. I never knew about these things. I always know that, yes, demand and supply. But this time around, we are on the side of demand because we are demanded. Our service, our energy, everything is demanded. So in terms of the electoral commission and all these other issues, thank God everything went very well.
MTC Salute Boxing Academy, in conjunction with the Ninja Against Crime brand and Harry Simon Boxing and Fitness Academy, is excited to announce an upcoming exhibition fight themed Ninja Harry Against Crime, featuring the former and still undefeated world champion, Mr. Harry the Terminator Simon, fighting for hope against former ex-convict, Mr. Paulus Ninja Shimwefeleni. This event is scheduled for December 6, 2024 at the Mercure Hotel in Windhoek. The primary aim of this exhibition fight is to send a strong message to the Namibian nation, especially the young generation, to stop crime, as crime does not pay. General tickets are $200, VIP $500. Dining table for 10 people is $25,000. For more information, contact 081-811-402175 or 061-306767. Building champions, where winning is the goal.
All right, Uncle Bwana, you can continue.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. So we should all stand up against crime in whatever forms. Okay? And we are very happy that those who have repented and they are ready to rectify our deed, our evil deed, and things like that. Not evil, maybe. So what I'm saying is that...
What do you mean? I don't get you.
Where did you not get me?
Those who must repent for their evil deed. I don't get what is the significance of that.
No, I was just making a reference to the advent.
Okay, or yes, I get you. Okay, I get you. Yes.
So, Franz, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. So, what we are saying is that I'm very, very grateful for the process of the election. People conducted themselves very well, ourselves, you know. So, because I do not know and understand whom do we expect to come and regulate our conduct or behavior? Be it the elderly or the young ones, because I'm always hearing that the young ones were not given an opportunity. Even if you go into Shoprite and wherever, they will always tell you that they were not given an opportunity. But that the employers and all these things, I visited a lot of polling stations. And even after that, even my own children, most of them, they were even the last people to vote. Around about 11, like in the polling station where I was, to end up to 11, 12 there. So now, Franz.
So you are saying that young people go to the polling stations rather later And then, you know, and then elderly people go to the polling station area.
So much! Because they don't
But Uncle Bwana, the young people were accusing the elderly that when they were there in the polls, the elderly were being assisted first. The elderly were being taken to the front, and then that discouraged them and made them go like, no, fine, if it's like that, I can't be in a queue for 10 hours. Let me just go home. Are you saying the young people are lying?
I'm going to answer that question with the one that the friends asked. They are all almost similar. Listen, the young ones go there late and they want to be saved early. You know what we call FIFO? First come, first out. In accounting.
Okay.
First come, first out. The elderly people were not
but
even
is that us. Is that based on fact that they come late and then they want to be helped early?
No, I told you that I'm experiencing. I'm talking from experience.
Because what is fact is that pensioners, the elderly, had their own special lines.
I'm saying
the elderly had their own special lines. Ne?
No, there was nothing like that.
What do you mean? Go on our social media, ne? And you'll find
I'm talking from experience, real experience from where I got it.
That's why I'm also telling you from special personal experience. Kale Schladwein, the minister of agriculture, he was voting here at the Dagbreek. I voted there Dagbreek myself. Dagbreek is a school. He himself said he was in a special voting line for the elderly, and that line was so disorderly because there was one line for the elderly, there was another line for people just sneaking in, and that's why I'm trying to tell you that it's not an issue of the youth coming late and wanting to be assisted. The elderly were given special preference. The elderly, the disabled, the differently able bodied, they were all assisted first.
Can you just give me a chance to talk?
No, but you must be factual. Don't just talk for talking. You must be factual.
Who told you that I'm not factual? Did I say anything that you can decide and say is not factual?
Yes, when you said that the older people were not given a chance to talk, that was not factual. They were not given a special.
Okay, maybe Uncle Bwana to cut this
thing
short.
They were given. They were given.
Can I answer the first question? It's not yours.
Okay, wait. Let's cut this conversation
short. But why not mine?
But the France asked me
this.
Okay. No, it's fine. Answer his. Maybe you are scared of mine.
Well, let me talk to France and then I will answer your question. I can couple them together.
Just make it quick because time is gone.
Yeah, because it's Andrew wasted my time. It's not me.
Okay, I'm giving you a minute to answer the question.
Dagbreek is just across your office there. And I know that at the station where I voted is veterinary service. There were two lines for elderly and for young. 2, 4, 5 from each line. There were no discrimination, okay? And I voted, I came there around 5:30. Okay, I was maybe 500% to be there. And I stayed there, and I voted, even my children, they went there. I said they were not. There was no discrimination. I didn't say that. If whatever agricultural minister said that there was some kind of discrimination.
No, that's not what I said. I said he confirmed that the elderly had their own, because he's also over 60, so he was part of that line. He was.
But there were two lines.
Huh?
You said there were two lines.
Yes, for the old.
There were two lines. They were making sure that 2, 4 from here, 4 from here. Is that not what it was happening?
But there's only one voting booth.
I know there's one, but there are two lines getting into one room.
Okay.
So what is the contradiction now?
No, because you are saying that the young people wanted to be treated first. and the elderly.
Even at the point where I was, at the later stage, even around 11, 10 there, they even wanted to demonstrate, to force themselves inside. Some of them were drunk, some of them were intoxicated. That's why even at my polling station at the veterinary service here, we had to intervene because they wanted even to beat the security officers. Because that is, because it was only...
Because they were frustrated. They want to vote and they were not being allowed to vote.
Frustrated, where were they in the morning?
Yeah? They were there. They were there.
They were not there. That's why I was telling you that...
But you just told me now you were there with your children. Are your children not young? You came there with your children. Meaning if your children are young, they were there.
Guys, I'm afraid our time is gone. So.
Yeah, but the Andrew doesn't understand.
No, all right. I understand.
And companion, thank you very much.
I don't understand.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having
me. For lecture.
Thank you very much.
No, he's contradicting himself.
No, the issue is, I partly understand what he's trying to say. Look, the issue was, like at the polling station where I was in Ochomise, the Michelle McLean.
Yeah.
They were taking 15... two from the young side and 15 to the elderly side. Now, what happens is that 15 does not necessarily mean you are going inside. You are going to sit at the bench near. You are going. It's a queue that they form of 30 people that are close to the hall or to the room or voting booth.
Yeah,
that should go in.
Yeah. Let's take a last caller perhaps. Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
How are you?
Yes.
Better.
You're better.
Yes.
Okay.
How are you, gentlemen?
Good. We are all right. We are also better.
Okay. Yes. I think the first is the decision to extend the elections until Saturday. It is a good move and also a confusing move, considering that in terms of communication, things are really not clear. There isn't directives that are going the same way the directives went out that the 27th is a public holiday. Where is official communication inked and signed by someone? Announcements on radios or maybe they're going to start doing it tomorrow morning, especially on programs, those morning programs on radio for the people in the villages, that it's mostly people in remote areas that were affected or are still waiting to cast their votes.
Yeah.
So I think, regardless of the press conferences and all of these continuous double briefings by ECN, things are so confusing for us. We still don't know what is it that is happening in the country. Are people going to continue counting the votes? Are the polling stations going to just run endlessly?
But some of those questions were answered, like the counting, for example. That one was already answered in the sense that if the polling stations that already counted and finished and gave up their results, that is done. They are not going to continue counting anymore. Those that have not yet completed, they will do so and then send their results. That's why ECN has given these specific polling stations that where people will now go converge, and those who have not voted will vote there, and those will be newly counted. Those will be new stations.
That's also the other confusion, because you know, one thing, any person looks at something and they decide, no, there's corruption. It's always that when allegations of corruption, especially in such sensitive cases of elections, when allegations are there, it's not always that things are there, but it's because procedures sometimes are very much questionable. Because people would want to know, why is Commerce Region having a single polling station?
And it's the same question we're asking.
Like, I think I had a little bit of Uncle Buana when you were talking that the youth are trying to have privileges. Guys, what voter apathy very much, because if you see the previous number of eligible voters that actually turned up to register comparing to this year, the youth really went out. We stood under the sun for 13 hours.
Mm.
I realized that Windhoek does not have trees and we need to do something. We need shade.
Mm.
But beyond 13 hours and the queue does not even move and we are stuck there and we know we are going to cast our vote.
Imagine if we were 10 million.
Yes, and it breaks our heart so much because I casted my vote.
Mm.
But I'm always telling people, I don't care what party you belong to or you support. My thing is just go vote.
Yeah.
We don't care who eventually gets to sit on the throne as the president. But I think the one thing that is very much annoying is that we are failing to separate the political parties from the administration of ECN. We as the citizens, not ECN and SWAPO or ECN and IPC or ECN and AR.
Mm.
It's the fact that we need to call ECN and tell ECN that this country has NDF, this country has NAMPO. Those people have resources in terms of choppers, but why is the electoral fleet not consisting of choppers so that we know that if ballot papers, for example, are done in Okahanja, then we know, don't drive to Windhoek because it's going to take time, but rather use chopper services for you to transport those ballot papers. You must have people at the ECN head office that are entrusted to a region.
Just hold the line for us. We have an ad coming up and we can wrap up the conversation.
Okay.
All right.
Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just $300 a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit Paratus.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always prepare,
Paratus. All right, please continue.
Yes, so finally I was just going to say some order level story did not work. It's so many things that even if you gave that project to a grade 10 student, they would have planned it differently. Students that are doing logistics supply chain at our institutions, they could have seen all of this off-site, but it is okay, it is done. We do not care anymore about what happened, why were the voters card being printed with original stamps. We don't care anymore about what happened, but it would be so beneficial to us to still hold the integrity and our trust in ECN as an independent body of the country if they have to communicate to us directly and in formal procedures. Not this partial information is given here. You don't know, is this what it should be? Is this what it shouldn't be?
Yeah.
Corporate information signed and stamped. The letter must go out from the ECN the CEO. And then we know this is the story that we have. Because now people are waiting throughout the week and Saturday as well. But those that did not vote, how do they leave the office around December? We can't even put in the leave. What are they saying? How are we supposed to navigate these things?
But what about Saturday? You don't think Friday and Saturday will be sufficient enough?
The problem comes to, let's look at the people that work in retail shops.
Mm.
On the day of the public holiday, even though they worked on the 27th, they closed at 7 p.m. to go cast their votes and they were sent back and the ballot papers finished and it was also 2 a.m. stories. People must go home, they are tired. On a Saturday, it's not a public holiday, so they must go to work.
Mm.
What must happen? And remember, these people, for me to put...
They don't knock off earlier on a Saturday.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if all the shops other than the ones that we know in the hood that closes at 5 or 7, I'm not sure if all the other shops are going to close at 7 and if everybody else will have the same liberty to go to the voting polls.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that if you give me a day off for me to go cast my vote, I can devote to it.
Mm.
But if I'm expected to report for work on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and again, I must go back and in the night, I must go cast my vote. Yes, from the perspective of it's my, you know, as much as it's civic duties and obligations of every Namibian citizen, we also need to meet the people halfway. the people in the villages, how are we asserting that all of these people are given the fair chance to go vote? These people that were sent back, or they stayed there and they waited, or some voted and then they were sent back, and you tell people that, no, the polling stations must open beyond 9 o'clock. In a village, you open the polling station beyond 9 o'clock under a tree to serve who with who, what light. And they did not again communicate to people and say, tomorrow morning, please, the councillors in the constituencies are supposed to announce on radio. The program on 30 FM, it's tomorrow morning, return to your polling station and go finish voting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't finish this story. I mean, I think it's lessons for 2029.
Yeah.
Hopefully they are going to do better. This time we are disappointed. We are hurt, not because any person is losing or winning elections, but it's just we deserved our right to do what we wanted to do.
Mm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for coming through.
Yeah, that was the most logical analysis or conversation.
Mm.
But you see, people would really think that ECN is using them as collateral for their mistake. Mm. And I mean, I don't need to put my head on the block on this one. I would think the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fine. You see, ECN has realized the issue, and they are extending the days.
Yeah, and I think, look, I don't know, I wouldn't want to be in ECN's shoes right now, because particularly Peter Sharma, the CEO or the Chief Electoral and Referenda Officer, because on one side, from the voters, you are facing fires.
Mm.
People didn't get to vote,
yeah,
or they stood in queues for a long time. They are angry. On the other side, you have the political parties. They stormed in your office. They block off your boardroom, and they want to. You know, some of them are calling for you to even be fired.
Hmm.
On the other side is the media, because as the media, we want to inform the public and tell them, no, this is what ECN is saying. This is the way forward, and this is what has transpired. You are not even giving the media accurate information, timely information. In fact, in most cases, we are ignored by ECN, and only when they feel like they want to talk to us do they talk to us. And so they faced all those fires from all those angles, and I don't envy them, but I think people should be held accountable. Someone should be, at the end of the day,
be able to answer.
Yes, because if in any company, if you work, let me give you an example. You work for I don't want to use a real name, so I'll use Shop and Pay. Yeah? You work for Shop and Pay, and there's a structure. There's the boss. There's the people that work, and for some reason, when you are doing when you are cashing in, the money that you are collecting throughout the day, you put in your money and you cash it in, and you are locking up, and tomorrow everyone comes to work, and you realize, no, someone did not lock that door, did not lock up, did not put on the security lock, and all of a sudden things were stolen. Someone has to answer for that. You have to go through all the, okay, who was the last person who must lock up? Who was the person who was supposed to give the key to that person? Who was the person that was supposed to... So that is, I think, the same needs to be answerable when it comes to ECN. Who was the person that was supposed to make sure that the ballot papers are sufficient? Who was the person that was supposed to make sure that every polling station had sufficient? Who was the person that, and I think it's quite sad. We have gone quite a bit over time, 7 minutes past 11. We are just going to be wrapping up and handing over to Rudolf, who is in studio and getting ready to take over, and basically continue the conversation. Your final words, Franz.
Yes, I say, 2024 elections was relatively, let me not even say relatively, because relatively will be wrong. 2024 election is per the tradition of Namibia. Namibia is not a violent country. People can complain, but it doesn't result into a violent kind of confrontation with the police and so forth. So that's a good spirit. Of course, today has been one of the dramatic days. I like it from a political polemic side. I think it was dramatic, and there's nothing, I think, wrong with that. So those who have a chance to go and vote tomorrow, please do so, and Saturday. But we are going to be around to keep you company and to inform you accordingly. So stay tuned.
Yeah, that's right. We'll take a commercial break and we'll see if Rudolph will be ready to take over.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we have been there before.
Look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.